Welcome to today's episode of the podcast. My guest is Lindsay Calcutt, the dynamic CEO of Encora Health, a Greenville-based startup focused on revolutionizing women's health through technology. Under Lindsay's visionary leadership, Encora Health has developed the world's smallest health monitoring device, a stylish, smart earring that skillfully combines fashion with functionality. This patented device tracks a range of vital health indicators with impressive precision, using artificial intelligence and machine learning to provide valuable insights into women's well-being and maternal health. Lindsay's commitment to empowering women with useful health data and supporting their well-being goals at different stages of life has put Encora Health at the forefront of innovation in women's health technology. Today, we'll talk about this journey, the challenges of developing such groundbreaking technology, and the future of women's health empowerment. Welcome to Keep IT Healthy podcast, the show hosted by people making things happen in technology, aiming to optimize healthcare delivery, health, well-being, and fitness. My name is Jan Kaminski, and I'm the co-founder of AppLover, a company dedicated to improving the quality of life with IT solutions and digital advisory. We started making this podcast to amplify great thinking to propel healthcare forward. Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for having me on and talking about Encora Health and women's health. I'm excited.
What's Encora Health and what's the product? And by the way, are you wearing them now?
Yes. So Encora Health, we're bringing to the market and we're currently in clinical trials right now, but we have a new wearable tech really focused on women's health and menstruators. So we have new smart earrings that are tracking different vital signs and biodata and providing insights to women based off of their physical and mental health around their menstrual cycle and the different phases. So our tech solution is a hardware and software solution, and we're super excited to not only provide insights, but also the education that a lot of times menstruators do not receive and understanding of what's going on with their body.
Could you walk us through the innovation process that led to the development of the product of Encora Health? I know you have a patented sensors technology. So what was the process?
My co-founder is actually the inventor of the technology originally. So her name is Teresa, and her and I have been working together for various years. And to tell you the truth, she came up originally with the idea of putting sensor technology in an earring based off of her pure frustration doing natural family planning and tracking her basal body temperature every single day to have a non-hormonal birth control method, more or less. And she was doing that and waking up every single morning, doing oral body thermometer in her mouth and manually tracking it. And then now, you know, there are apps and other things that you can track that data and understand when you're ovulating for your fertility purposes. So that was her first like enlightening moment of putting some sensor technology in an earring, because, you know, it was her understanding that she needed to take her temperature in a cavity of the body to get really that core body temperature or the basal body temperature. So the novelty around the sensor technology is actually in the post of the earring, and we're taking the temperature in the cavity of the ear piercing.
And I know you collected a lot of data. And what interests me is the accuracy of the health metrics that are tracked by your device. So as I know, it tracks heart rate variability, oxygen saturation, and like, how does that work, especially, I mean, given the diverse scenarios that might occur?
The accuracy that we're seeing in the clinic and with our medical data that we're tracking is really based off of kind of the biology of where your blood vessels are. So a lot of these sensors, how they really work is they're a light sensor that the light bounces to your blood vessel and then comes back to the technology for a reading of whatever's going on with your blood. Heart rate, like you said, heart rate variability, blood oxygenation, and other things. So I'm going to geek out a little bit and nerd out some for you. But if you think about it, you know, we really designed the Encora earring as a really elegant jewelry that women already wear in the earring. However, testing the data and providing like clinical rationale behind it, we've really tapped into a really novel location with the accuracy of our data we're collecting, because in the earlobe, there is blood vessel that goes directly to your heart. So we are measuring from our light sensors and our other sensing technology, the blood flow in the earlobe. Whereas a lot of other sensor technology, whether it's on the wrist, the finger, or other places on the body, that light sensor will go to the blood vessels, but also create, in some situations, some inaccuracies with the reading because the light is also bouncing off of bone and muscle and other tissue and other things like that. Whereas we're only seeing that blood vessel in the earlobe and that's all. So that's what we're really excited about, the accuracy of our data and how we're collecting data that is at this point a clinical accuracy of our reading.
Okay, and not only that, but as I see it, it looks really cool and it's designed. I mean, it looks beautiful. And like, do you have multiple colors and like, or is it just like the one device that you sell? Like, what's the deal?
Well, I appreciate that. We also think it's beautiful as well. Our clinical testing, our testing through the pearl look, like one I have on. And when we launch, which we're launching in a couple of months, we'll have the pearl option, and we also have a couple of other options as well. In addition to an option that has a little bit of versatility of being able to change out the shape and the style and the color of the earrings. So we're not necessarily making our users kind of limited to only one look, that will be versatile and being able to change out that look and feel of it.
As we talked about the data, given the personal nature of the health data that you collect, probably user privacy and data security must be important. So what measures are in place to ensure that user privacy and security?
So we are building our wearable tech as a medical device currently. So we're following all of the HIPAA protocols and a lot of protocols that actually hospitals and medical clinics use for the protection and the security of our data. So we're not only just encoding data and things like that, we're actually going a step beyond and taking the measures that hospitals do as well. So we're super excited, and that's a high priority on our book, is to add data security, the data privacy, and making the users really understand and feel that we're in it with them and we're not sharing data. We're not going to be making money off data or anything like that, that is actually decoded where it's anonymous that we can see. And we're not going to be doing anything else with that data. The data is personally the user's own data, and we really respect that. And we don't want to necessarily do anything with it at all.
I want to get into the process of development of that kind of devices. What were the biggest technological challenges, and challenges that you faced in developing the world's smallest wearable, or potentially in the sense of femtech, for health tracking, and how did you overcome those challenges?
Since all the electronics, the battery, everything is so small, and it actually has to be small enough somebody would want to wear, right? There's definitely been a lot of challenges of the, first of all, probably the miniaturization for sure. We started with our first prototype was on a headband originally. So we started out with a battery that was about this size, and we made sure that the sensor technology could actually measure what we are thinking we can measure with the ear. And we started out that big, and then we went to maybe like a quarter size, like a US quarter. And then we went smaller, and then now we're more or less kind of an earring size. So I would say the miniaturization of it all has been the most challenging, of just making sure the electronics can fit into the form factor of an earring itself with the weight and the size and things like that. The second, I wouldn't say a challenge, but definitely we had to think outside of the box, was the battery life. With the miniaturization and the size of the hardware and the electronics, the battery has to be that small too, right? So we've really thought outside of the box with the batteries specifically, with custom batteries, different shapes and designs and things like that, to make the battery life of the earring longer and more advanced than just a couple of days or hours at that point.
So functional and smart, in a sense. I want to get into the machine learning. When I was doing the research, I know that you integrate, at least try to integrate the latest advancements in machine learning into the smart earring that you're building. But as I understand, it's to do more accurate health tracking, or what's the case?
Yeah, so the machine learning and the AI that we're really incorporating within our technology to date is with the prediction of when a woman's ovulating based off of her basal body temperature, and also providing highly personal insights around what's going on with her life on a mental level and also physical level of the different phases of her menstrual cycle. And that is really, you know, what we're utilizing on providing generally kind of a menstrual cycle map personalized to that specific user or that specific menstruator. Right now, how a lot of technologies use is they just use kind of a blanket software application, and they're generally, you know, monitoring different things on a menstrual cycle based off of a 28-day menstrual cycle. And that is what is quote unquote kind of normal right now in the clinical community. However, only like 13% of menstruators actually fall into that 28-day cycle. So at Encora, we're really taking advantage of our machine learning and not only just kind of putting you into that box of a 28-day cycle, but we're learning what your cycle really is, whether it's, you know, 24 days or, you know, 34 days. We can really seek that out, and our software learns that pretty quickly and can utilize that data and that knowledge because of the data we're tracking from our earring. And we can provide super personalized insights and actionable insights based around the data we're collecting.
Given the personalized insights that you mentioned and the recommendations, how do you provide the personalized insights and recommendations? Like, it's based on only on their data, or do you use any external sources of data?
Initially, we're basing everything off of our clinical community and our clinical practitioners, nurse practitioners, based off of literature data, based off of other studies as well. And then once the personal data from the earrings piles on top of that, then that really shifts into that highly personalized insight.
Could you share any insights or data on how this tech positively impacted women's health outcomes, or any probably you get a lot of feedback. So maybe you have technology is better understood with a story, and maybe you have some to share.
Technology within the women's health world is so new and really just kind of at the foundation of growing that we're learning every day, if not every hour, different insights on different data that's being measured. Now, with the Encora earring and the data that we're collecting right now in our clinical trials, we're really learning and understanding what the data is showing us to really be the first one to map out a full menstrual cycle and what's going on with that based off of physical and mental capabilities. For an example, we're really tapping into some of our collaborators that are looking at brain changes based off of different phases of the menstrual cycle and how your brain kind of reacts based off of where you are in your menstrual cycle, which relates to stress, which relates to anxiety and some other things as well. So that's one example. Another example would be IBS and how that is related to menstrual cycle and different phases of your menstrual cycle. And we are seeing a direct correlation with heart rate variability and measuring that and controlling heart rate variability in a certain range to really understand and minimize symptoms of IBS. So that's another example that we're really interested in and looking at our studies and seeing if we're seeing any trends or what we can actually identify with the data we're collecting to really predict what's going to go on before symptoms are even so strong that users are seeking out medical care.
How do you get the knowledge? I mean, do you work with medical advisors, or you're working with universities?
We have amazing partnerships with the medical community and also academic researchers as well. We have a whole scientific team within Encora that really seeks out partnerships to understand women's health, whether it's related to the menstrual cycle, whether it's related to cardiovascular heart conditions, whether it's related to, you know, diabetes, kind of those bigger conditions as well. So we're utilizing our scientific team in doing that. We also have awesome partnerships with the University of South Carolina Medical School. So they are working with us and doing our clinical trials right now, and with Prisma Health as well. So we've tapped into a couple of different collaboration partnerships to work with OBGYNs, to work with GI doctors and other clinical communities to help us really understand what the data is telling us and really helping us direct our focus into which clinical markets are the most relevant to what we're seeing right now. And then also, how is our growth opportunity looking for future opportunities as well?
You mentioned the clinical trials. So currently, probably there's the beta users are using the product, or do you have a waiting list, by the way?
We do have a waiting list, yes. So you can go on our website at EncoreHealth.com and get on the waiting list for when we're ready to launch. And we're going to do somewhat of a soft launch, kind of an invite only. So yes, if you're interested, sign up on the waiting list so we can get you on the invite only list, because it's going to be a small launch originally.
Okay, so you do have some beta users. And like, how do you get feedback? Like, how do you work with that feedback? How does feedback from your target audience influence the ongoing development of the technology, of the product? What's your strategy here?
Yeah, and the target audience is generally kind of two audiences right now for us. We have the end wearer, the menstruator or the woman that's wearing the technology of the earrings. And we also have the clinical audience as well, because we're providing, you know, insights and providing the data from the patient to the clinical community, and they are actually understanding what that data means and how can we actually provide the insight. So both of those target audience or the customers are really at the center and the forefront of everything we do. So we keep them engaged, not only through just kind of our clinical research that we're doing to get the data, but also our user research. How are the earrings wearing? How do you like the charging? How do you actually like the insights in the app? Are you seeing that anything's too complicated? Does it make sense? Are there any hiccups, anything like that? So we are collecting that information as well, in addition to just user surveys also, that we're interviewing and providing, you know, quantitative and qualitative information for our marketing purposes, for understanding who actually is our early adopter and things of that nature. So we're definitely taking advantage of doing lots of target audience research on all kinds of different levels.
What are the future advancements in tech or maybe in the product itself that you are planning?
Yeah, what we're really excited about at Encore Health is generally closing in a lot of these data gaps within women's health specifically. Women were first introduced really into the U.S. clinical trials in 1993. That means that we really have a lot of gaps in our understanding of women's health specifically, whether it's from PCOS, endometriosis, you know, infertility, heart conditions related to women specifically. There's so many questions right now that our big mission and our big success is to really start collecting the data and seeing trends with some of these big questions, that we can start closing in some of that data gap and really utilizing technology with women's health specifically to speed up the understanding of a lot of these conditions that really affect women. And sometimes it's taking 8 or 10 years to even be diagnosed with, you know, women going to the doctor over and over and over and still taking that long to have a proper diagnosing. So if we can integrate technology within these women health specific conditions, you know, ideally we have a sooner diagnosis. We actually understand the condition better so we can be a preventative mechanism diagnosing a condition before the symptoms are even so bad that the women are actually seeking care.
And from that perspective, will it involve more clinical trials in a sense, like more clinical research? So probably it will be like it's going to be divided in stages and in years, the future investments.
That's exactly right. In Core Health, our core is really the clinical research, data-driven. So we definitely have the scientific research, the academic research, and the clinical research really at the fore of our company, and seeking out what's going on with different clinical conditions. So you're exactly right. You know, we have clinical trials going on right now, but that doesn't mean after these are over, we stop. We actually are going to build upon that and really start looking at different women's health specific conditions, you know, after that. And really, like I said, closing in that unknown data and unknown reason of why people are having pain and other symptoms associated with their life.
In general, how long have you been working on the product?
So within Core Health specifically, about 2 years as in Core Health. My co-founder and myself kind of dabbled with it a little bit, but we both had full-time jobs before 2 years, but full-time 2 years. And I would say probably about the whole time, about 5 years, if you combine the part-time and the full-time.
Because it's B2C, right? The model is B2C, not B2B. It's like it's direct-to-customer model that you're focusing on.
Yeah, focus right now is B2C.
And what's the team size that's been involved with the product? More or less for 2 years. I know that at the beginning probably small team, and then in probably fractionals in between, but like...
Yeah, and we have definitely been building out the team pretty lean, so we have a lot on our plate for sure. I would say the guess with the fractional and over the past 2 years, about 8 total. And then that would be an average of the team over the past 2 years.
As a startup, how do you plan to scale that technology to reach a broader audience after you launch, right? Without compromising the quality, the precision of health tracking of the product. So do you plan to raise more money or you rather focus on the bootstrap later or just like once proving the point? Like what's the strategy for the future for this and the next year?
So yes, to date, we have generally bootstrapped the company. We also have secured some federal and state grant money as well, so non-dilutive capital. And we've raised like some friends and family an angel round. So a small round to kind of get us and hire talent to get us to the point where we are right now.
How's the market looking? I mean, if you compare the VC's interest in femtech in general, is it on the rise? I know it's trending, but like how the experience have been for you?
Raising capital in any market or for any company is hard, right? And really where we are positioned at Encora Health, we're raising money for a hardware tech startup and a fintech startup and a woman of founders, right? So women founders get over the past, you know, year, about 2% of all VC capital. So not good odds on any one of those levels. So it's definitely been hard for sure. Very, very hard. And generally the fintech market is somewhat newer market with not a lot of exits or, you know, cases that you can really learn from and model the growth around that. So it's been slow to fundraise. However, I agree with you that fintech is trending. Fintech is kind of at the verge of about to really blossom, but there's been a lot of watering, a lot of soiling, and really trying to grow a strong foundation so we can really compete with some of the other companies out there like the B2B SaaS and things of that nature.
But is it because of it's part of health tech. So is it health tech is huge. So why do you think that is? Is it because of the lack of knowledge or the lack of, the voice in a sense? What's the case?
At least from my opinion, what I've seen, that there's a disconnect. The majority of investors are, you know, white men, quite frankly, right? And if a woman is going out to fundraise based off of women's specific conditions, there's a little bit of that gap of like education, first of all. And then also then that connection point, maybe that investor is like, Well, I can see that there's opportunity, but I don't have a connection to that. It doesn't speak to me. So I see that that's a little bit of a gap there, just based off of who's on the other side of the table that I'm talking with. But there is a rise of women starting to become investors as well, especially on the angel investors. There's more and more women getting on the other side of the table and having those discussions. So starting to create a bigger voice and starting to really talk about different topics that have traditionally been kind of taboo of discussion is really starting to happen. And I just really see that the growth being able to outweigh kind of the negative components of it. So we need to continue to have the dialogue and just start, speaking louder so people are understanding the challenges that women are having and women's health is having with the fundraising.
Looking back, what you would do differently starting a hardware business?
I think I would create partnerships and start talking to people sooner. And, starting in Cora Health, we were very, very secretive about talking to anybody for probably the first 18 months at all. Like, very secretive, and that was good because we filed IP. We really vetted out the feasibility of, hey, can we even measure data in the ear? And, doing some of the groundwork before starting to talk to people. But we need help. And from kind of the ground up, just starting those partnerships and collaborations sooner would be something I would do different. But I'm all the time about networking and seeing what kind of collaborations you can form to increase your chances of making it to the next step, especially in that fintech world and the women's health world. It's a very collaborative community. And I really think because it's still really small and somewhat niche, unfortunately, it's called niche, but, women's health affects 50% of the population. Women are 50% of the population. And then fertility and having babies or not having babies is really 100% of the population if you're actively, doing that. But I think that the collaborative nature within the fintech world, just because we are trying to create a bigger voice, is so great that anybody in the fintech world, any founder thinking about starting a company in the fintech industry, start collaborating and start talking to the network. And it'll be really surprising about how helpful other founders are, other investors are, other people that have been in the space are really just trying to build up the fintech industry. And doing so, they're helping each other out, no matter what their company is really focused on.
Are there any collaborations or partnerships with other tech companies or research institutions that have been pivotal at Cora Health journey or been like tremendously important?
Yeah, and the one that comes to my mind first is Gaidea. They are a UX, UI research organization, and they help really build out app platforms and software technologies. They created a program about 2 years ago for fintech founders. It's called Femivate, and they provide sponsorship to, I believe they tried to start the program to provide, support for 5 companies maybe, but there's so many companies that apply that really need the support in the fintech industry that they've already had 2 cohorts of 30 companies each in the support that they have provided in Cora, and I know other companies as well in the fintech industry, has been so valuable because, really growing a company on a lean budget, not having a lot of the resources that maybe some other companies have to really provide the expertise and the knowledge from the Gaidea team into our company. And they literally drop everything and help you out with any request for a while that they have done, user research for us. They've helped us out with a user journey through our app. They have provided the working knowledge of, where buttons on apps that are located actually work well and how can you actually provide a retention and get your customers to come back to your platform over and over and over again. You know, those types of things and education that nobody on our team at Encore even had, nor are we really even looking for. And getting into that program and then providing us with that knowledge and the support of working through all of that has been such a value and providing real value into our company.
Do you have any other in mind?
Yeah, we've also had some great collaborations with some other like women's health clinics that they're not specifically a big hospital organization. However, a lot of these women health specific clinics, they're doctors that have once again been completely frustrated in healthcare being a doctor to women because they've only been, you know, able to have 15 minutes per patient to bill. And they've broken out and actually created their own clinics specifically only for women health conditions. And we've been able to partner up with a handful of those, and they're providing so much guidance on the clinical side. And also they're already, you know, signing up for the pre-sales of like, yes, we want our 200 patients to have these earrings so we can also provide better clinical guidance to our patients and provide more of a personalized treatment plan based off of what their patients are specifically going through. So that's been really helpful as well.
From the perspective of those 2 years of launching a product that needs approval from clinical trials, et cetera, what would be the advice that you would give to other FemTech founders?
I have lots of advice. That might be another whole podcast that we could talk for 3 hours or maybe over a glass of wine or something. But I would say what comes to mind first is ask questions and learn that surprisingly, people are willing to help and wanting to help, especially in the FemTech world, that if you can really narrow your ask down to something that's actionable and reach out to really kind of seek out other founders that are kind of maybe a year or two ahead of you or other mentors that have already gone through the process and provide a clear ask. I've been surprised on a lot of things that I've asked that not only are they willing to help, but also they like seem to provide a real solution of whatever they ask is, whether it's an introduction, whether it's just some guidance, whether it's lessons learned from where their experience has taken them. But they provide the answers within like 24 or 48 hours later or a week later. And it's like, wow, these people are very responsive and they're really wanting to help out, you know, other founders that are really just starting out and getting off the ground.
You mentioned the waiting list. Where our audience, if they like the product, where can they sign on for the list?
So the best place to do that is through our website. So encorehealth.com, and there is a contact us button and you can sign up for the wait list and also sign up for clinical trials that we have ongoing through that link.
Lindsay, thank you very much for joining us today, for sharing your story and this, I mean, and the product, which is great, by the way.
Great. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Stay in touch with us. Subscribe to our podcast. Give us a like, comment, or share. If you want to reach out personally, you can find me on LinkedIn and Instagram.